Greetings and welcome to another edition of Conversations. And this time on the program, we have Corey McIntyre, the Anoka Hennepin Superintendent, joining us in studio. Corey, thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thanks
and
for
I know
me.
This is a big transition for you. Yeah. You were in the Osseo District for a few years, but before that, you were at Anoka Hennepin. You've boomeranged back. When you saw that job open, did you say to yourself, I want that?
Well, I have very fond memories here. So yes, it was very appealing to start. Didn't have any idea it was going to become available. I was very happy in Osseo, so it's probably the only place I would have really thought about making a change to. We did a lot of great things in Osseo while I was there, wonderful staff, and during a challenging time, during the pandemic, you know, you learn a lot, right? So, but yeah, when I saw this opening come around, you know, I knew a lot about the district clearly from being here before, and I thought I could probably hit the ground running.
Is the pandemic really in the rearview mirror from a scholastic point of view?
No, we're still dealing with not only academic, like reading and math lags, but mental health and well-being. You know, we've really realized we got to make sure we're taking care of everybody from a real holistic perspective. When people are healthier, they just perform better. So when our kids are healthy, eating well, and their mental health is solid, then they're going to see their best, you know, results with reading, math, and science.
Have you seen repercussions that you notice that you would say, okay, that's because of COVID, that's because of the shutdown?
Yeah, I think in all those areas I just mentioned, but I would also say, you know, just from a staffing standpoint, we're still recovering with there's workforce shortages. And, you know, there's also just the cost of doing business is different now. Like, the costs have gone up, the operational pieces of our work and what we do for kids in the size, this district, this size, is those are real variables that are even more magnified now than 5 years ago.
All right, the Anoka Hennepin School District, the enrollment, about 38K. That's the largest in the state of Minnesota,
Top
150 in the U.S. So you've got a wide footprint separated by a river, a couple of counties, a lot of different cities and demographics. What's going on in the district that you like right now?
Well, each town has their identity, and I love that about our district. You know, every community has a lot of pride in what they stand for and what they're all about. Our job, so how do we make that feel like one district? When you, everything you just said, you know, multiple counties and geographic challenges and our just geographic spread. So, you know, this year we're talking a lot about the power of purpose, like why do we do what we do? And I think that resonates in the community. Kind of getting back to what's at the core of our purpose in educating kids. But there are, you know, things that we are neighbors to Osseo, for example. We're neighbors to other districts, and we do see families have, they want choice. So they're willing to move in and out of a district, right, because of our boundaries. So we are trying to work really hard at what's the value in Osseo versus Anoka Hennepin, and why come to Anoka Hennepin for what our programs and offerings look like. We have because of our size, we can offer a broad range of academic, extracurricular, athletic, you know, music options, a lot of a range of things to be involved in. And I think that's a huge selling point for us.
What's Corey McIntyre's definition of student success? I mean, we hear that phrase a lot, but what's that mean to you?
Yeah, well, I always think of when our students graduate and they go off to do whatever it is they want to do and they're excellent at it, then we've prepared them well, right? Give them choices, give them different pathways. It's clearly academics. It's clearly that mental health approach. Are we, you know, are our students healthy? Are they well-adjusted and are they interested and engaged in learning and passionate about the things they're learning and excited about coming to school?
How do you spot a kid, especially somebody who's maybe reclusive, reluctant to go to a counselor or a teacher or even their parents, that's dealing with issues in a huge school like Blaine or Champlain Park? How do you pinpoint that?
Well, it takes every adult in the building. I was just meeting with the child nutrition workers this morning, and that's a good example. They do more than just serve a meal. They're there to make connections with kids. They can have an impact every day just by saying hello. It's those little moments that make a difference. So the power of human connection is real, and just make that real simple in everything we do. We have 7,000 employees, And my expectation and my challenge to them is work hard to make connections with kids. Be that one adult that they might need that day that saw something, said something to them that mattered, right? Because it really can be just something really small that can make the world a difference.
Declining test scores. I know that's an issue. I'm sure you want to get that thing reversed. Mm-hmm. According to the Minnesota State Report Card, the scores have dropped in recent years, probably some related to the pandemic. So you go back to 2018, across the district, 64% of students were meeting math standards. Last year, it plummets to 52%. Reading, it drops from 65 to 55%. In science, the scores go down from 61 to 43. How do you flip that script?
Yeah, we might see, we could see another year of that before things really start to turn. We talk a lot about how we're doubling down on instruction. You know, if we can take care of some of the other basic needs and that, like I said earlier, you know, position kids to be at their best learning as far as how they show up to school, then we can, and you know, with the state's help, we're doubling down on reading literacy. There's a massive effort statewide to really focus on the science of reading. That holds up with math and science, right? So, you know, what you just described is a national experience, mm-hmm. statewide experience here. It's not an excuse at all, and we are trying to peel back that onion on what do we need to do. And what I've been sharing with our staff, it's kind of three simple things. How do we capture our students' attention in their learning and engage them? How do we inspire them? And then how do we teach them, right? So if we can just keep at the core and position our teachers to be at their best selves and as far as their teaching, and then how do we measure success as we go? So it's not at the end of a trimester or something like that. You know, ongoing measures really tell us, are we on track or not? So we got to kind of make some changes to our systems, making sure our staff are as, you know, trained, they have the best training they can. Are we using the best materials and content and curriculum that we can? So it's kind of a multifaceted approach. And then as students start to slip, how do we catch that early, intervene earlier, and give them a chance to catch up and then excel past where they were, you know, at previously?
From the macro view, you know, Minnesota has a great national reputation for education. But if you look at the micro view, there's an achievement gap.
Yep.
And sometimes it falls along, you know, racial fault lines and
yep.
things like that.
Yep.
I know there's a concerted statewide effort
yep.
to fix that. Very diverse district. How do you address that?
And we're only going to get more diverse, right? That's just the nature of the metro area, the nature of our state, really the country. I'm back to where it is around relationships. If kids feel connected and engaged and they have psychological safety, they feel safe at school, now we can lean into their learning and what do they need individually. You're right, we have it's been persistently the biggest achievement gap in the
yeah.
country. So getting back to what does quality instruction look like, but that starts with relationship first. You know, if kids feel well connected and they feel like they're valued in the classroom, and they can take those risks and take those kind of leaps in their effort, now we're going to get somewhere. So, you know, how do we help our staff? And it helps as we diversify our staff. Kids respond well when they see staff that look like them, you know, and they can see themselves in the adult role models in front of them. So, you know, as most districts are, we're working really hard to diversify our staff and have the best well-trained staff possible across the board.
And when you think of the worst gap in the nation, that means you're behind Mississippi
mm-hmm.
or Arkansas or Georgia,
yeah.
the states that seemingly take, you know, their lumps when it comes to education. Do you
yeah.
take that personally? Should Minnesota say, you know, we're embarrassed by this?
Well, and to compound that, we have a teacher shortage, right? We have a shortage in about every department we have. We're short bus drivers, food service workers, paraeducators. There isn't a department that's not affected right now with the shortage. So how do we continue to recruit and retain quality staff? How do we start earlier in showing education's a career path for our students to think about and lean into? So I think the workforce shortage is only making everything you just described magnified even more. So we got to kind of get back to what works.
Are you a recruiter in some ways? I mean, the stats, as we are recording this show, over 100 openings for paras. You have 60 of those for special ed
yeah.
para positions. You have other special education jobs open. I know
yeah.
traffic control is always looking, and food service. Yeah. How do you convince people to come to the Anoka-Hennepin District and take one of these jobs?
The best recruiting we have is our own employees and their friends, their family, their neighbors. People listen to who they care about, right? So if our staff can talk about what their experience is like, you know, I think we talk a lot about salaries and rates of pay and so forth, but I'm also a big believer on who you work with, who you work for, matters a lot as well. If you feel like you're a part of something and you're connected and you have a common purpose, that goes a long way versus can I make a dollar more an hour here or whatever that whole conversation around money is. So it's important, and we are trying to be as competitive as we can be and give our employees the best compensation they can get. But I think there's a personal part to that too, and a human side to it, that when you're well connected, that really helps. So yes, I'm always recruiting everywhere I go. We're meeting with our child nutrition workers, and the reality is people can choose to work just about anywhere right now. There's openings anywhere. So why choose us? What is it about us that people choose to be a part of? And really digging into those connections, I think that's the narrative I'm always talking to anyone who will listen, because we're always hiring. So if we need some bus drivers. If you drive a bus, come drive a bus for us.
I've done traffic control. Right. I'll give a shout out to Jeff Mueller.
There we go.
Yes.
Yes.
And Michelle over there at the district in Anoka. Okay, so it does run across the board. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got classroom teachers. You need more of those. Child nutrition, you brought that up. And coaches even. So
custodians. There's
maybe something for any interest level, right?
Yeah, even if people aren't looking for employment, there's many volunteer opportunities. We also just shared at our board meeting last night that there's a lot of district level committees looking for participants. There's a lot of different ways to be engaged and a part of the district. But right now it's our workforce issues. So like I had mentioned earlier, custodians, our food service workers, there's just about every department that's needing, that has openings. So, and that our story is not unique. When I talk to other superintendents and other districts, it's the same story. So we're all kind of competing for a finite pool of candidates, and we're really looking at how do we grow our own? Yeah. How do we tap into those in our neighborhoods and our communities that maybe live near and around our schools?
You've been in the business of education now for decades. We're in a unique spot now with all the techno advancements with Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. Yeah. Everyone's glued to their phones. Tell us about the new cell phone policy in the Anoka-Hennepin District.
Yeah, the policy overall hasn't changed, but how we're implementing it has. So you described that well. What we're learning with our students is not only developmentally do our brains not handle that well at ages, the young ages of our school age population, but we now have other devices that we can give and provide to students that we didn't have pre-pandemic. So pretty much everyone has a district-issued device that helps with the school side. So now the phones have turned into more and more of a distraction. And when we're all about safe and welcoming learning environments, social media can be a distraction. We're really trying to be thoughtful about bullying and harassment and the kinds of posting and things that can come with a cell phone that tend to disrupt classrooms. So we've asked them to turn them off, store them away during instructional time so that they can truly be engaged in the learning with the teacher that's in front of them. I know it feels different because we're all, me included, we're pretty addicted to our phones and we use them for so many things. I have three high school daughters. I know what it's like myself. But we also got to chip away at how do we get to those better results you were asking about earlier. And that starts with this engagement and how do we make sure kids are really fully present and not having their minds spinning on something else that's either going to happen or has happened or is happening in the moment. I know families have been a little concerned, well, how do I reach my child when I need to?
Yeah.
One of our principals said, hey, we're 100% on that. You call our school, we know where your kid's at, we will get through to them and get them the message you need us to get to them. So they, just as it's been in the past, you have access to your child, it's just in a different way than through their cell phone during those instructional times. But it'll be a shift, right? So hopefully parents understand and can see we're trying to eliminate those distractions. I think the common ground is parents want us to do better with results.
Yeah.
It's one of the tools we can use.
Yeah, it should help with focus, I would think.
Yeah, we hope so too.
School safety, it's a national issue. There have been countless tragedies.
Yeah.
Your viewpoint on that, I know you can't just enter the school grounds as a parent or a visitor, you need a license, you're going to get a check down, but How can you make it safer in a world or a country where there's a lot of access to guns?
Yeah, when you ask about safety, I think all of our minds go to the physical safety around buildings and entrances and those kind of security measures. The evidence and research is very clear, though, for the biggest prevention, suicide prevention, violence prevention effort is connection and relationships. When kids feel connected, they're less likely to do those kind of dangerous things that we read about. You know, the gun violence, it feels like that's a daily news story, right? So we have done, we've done a lot of things to secure our buildings, you know, exterior and the physical plants of our buildings. But on top of that, it's the psychological safety that we're trying to continually lean into. And that's back to what I was saying before about the power of relationship and connection. When kids have an adult they can go to, if they see something that doesn't look quite right or doesn't feel quite right, and they think, oh, I can go to their teacher or someone and share that, the eyes and ears of every student and every staff member is our most powerful security measure, right? So no matter how much we put into the physical plants, we need the ability to say something when we see something. So that's a message we're constantly promoting, along with just, you know, it's kind of expanded out. We saw, you know, last fall with different violence at outdoor sporting events like football games and things like that. So we have partners. We have our local law enforcement partners that help with that, and just continually asking what security measures can we increase. So it is our number one priority. But that's the first thing we do, is making sure our facilities are safe.
I know last year, one of my kids at Champlain Park, I get the email, text, voicemail blast. School's on lockdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you're wondering what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
Is the school's policy or the district, are they going to say, we're going to overreact and be overly cautious every time just in case? Because that turned out to be really not a lot.
Yeah, we're always going to err on the side of caution, right? And I'd rather make that decision to keep kids safe than wish we would have done it and then have something tragic happen. And, you know, that's where we partner with local law enforcement, their expertise on assessing a threat and making the decision on the information available. We really try to make sure we have credible information before we make those kinds of decisions. And it's hard to get out in front of social media on some of these things because of the way the rumor spreads quickly. And that's part of the reason why we're not always able to be right out front, because we're trying to determine, is it credible? And do we disrupt the school day in that kind of an experience you had? That's very disruptive, very traumatic for many, right? That disrupts learning, but again, ultimately the safety's first, and that's been happening nationally. We work with many different components of law enforcement to see, you know, how do we prevent those things from happening? But we have those protocols in place for a reason, and when we think it's the risk is high enough, we're going to take action.
Curriculum, I mean, that's another wedge issue. It's a political topic.
Yeah.
So where do you land on that? I mean, you have some extremes where they're banning books or changing, you know, topics or subject matter. You have, as we've talked about, a very diverse district.
Yeah.
So you might have parents who see it one way and another set who see it another way. How do you get into all that?
Well, we aren't about changing people's beliefs. Everyone's got their own set of beliefs, and we respect that. And our job is to welcome every student. That's what public school is all about. So we have to make sure we're welcoming however kids show up. Right? And when it comes to curriculum, we definitely believe that when kids can see themselves in the material, they're gonna learn and lean into that a bit more. And ultimately, that's going to help us get better results. So especially as we're really, like I mentioned earlier, doubling down on literacy and math, you know, those are the areas that we are focusing in on. Science is, you know, right there as well. But, you know, schools are kind of a microcosm of the society around us. And you know, those challenges find their way in and out of our doors every day. That the lived experience of our kids, our staff, their lived experience too in and out of school. So it's kind of a constant balancing act. But I think in the end, we're all trying to find where's that common ground, and we all want our kids to do better. And we start with, we serve everyone, each and every student, right? So how do we make sure that they feel safe and welcome? We're not trying to change people's beliefs, but we are trying to make sure we are supportive of every child that we're obligated to serve and that we have the privilege to serve.
Extracurricular activities. You know, not every kid's going to be the star quarterback or the you know, the top goal scorer on the hockey team. But I at least believe it's always good to do something, sports or the band, or get involved in something. Is that a push that you would support?
Well, you're spot on. Your intuition is exactly right, and research proves the more kids are involved, the better they do in school. So if they're involved in activities outside of school that are structured in that sense, their academics are improved as well. So we've seen a little bit of a bit of a drop in some of the extracurricular activities, and so we've really been trying to figure out how do we better engage and offer opportunities for kids to feel that it's welcome, maybe eliminate some of the barriers that maybe it's cost prohibitive for some. We were just at the Coon Rapids Business Council meeting this morning, and we had our principal and activities director there asking for support from our businesses. How can we eliminate some of those barriers so we can increase participation, whether it's sports or music or any of the other activities that we offer? So we believe, and it's proven to be true, when kids are engaged in participating in different things, they just perform better all around and their overall well-being is stronger.
And before I let you go, there are some low-income students in the district, and I want to make sure we're clear. No kid's going to be turned away if they need a meal. And if that kid wants to play basketball, football, hockey, or get into the band, you're going to find a way to make it happen. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. We have a sliding scale for a lot of those fees that you might be thinking of, first of all, and then maybe if it comes to equipment or things needed to participate, we have, like this morning, finding ways to help offset the cost of some of those things so that we can eliminate those barriers because we want kids involved.
All right. What are you looking forward to as you come back to the Anoka-Hennepin District?
Yeah, well, there's so much pride in this district and so much connection amongst the different communities, and just a strong desire to serve kids, right? There's just a passion here that I feel like has been unmatched over my career. So I'm excited to get kids back in school and give them those experiences, not only academically, but part of the sports and the music and all the other activities, the theater and the arts that we offer here. So it's an exciting time. We're getting prepared, so that takes a lot of work right now. August is our big prep month, and now we're having staff come back and getting ready. But we need partnerships with parents and our community. And when we parents and community partner with us, the product we produce and do it together is only stronger. So we look forward to working with our communities and parents to make it the best school year we've had.
For any parents watching who may want to take one of these jobs, you've told us that they're in abundance.
Yeah.
How do they get to the website?
Just get there. It's ahschools.us. Easy to find it. It's right there on the front homepage. You can't miss it.
All right, Corey. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Corey McIntyre, the Anoka-Hennepin Superintendent. This has been Conversations here on North Metro TV.